Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
A life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented from the Lighthouse Chapel International. This rich teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for everyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Reverend Samuel Sawyer is an anointed man of God with a special grace for teaching the Word of God and a unique passion for building people and positively transforming lives. He is currently the resident head pastor of the LCI Rose of Sharon Cathedral, Accra, Ghana. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teaching as taught in the Lighthouse Chapel International.
Here we go, let's go to the throne, the place that we belong. Rise to his arms.
Wherever you are, close your eyes and pray for yourself. Speak to God and say, Lord, my heart is open. My mind is alert. My spirit is here. Speak to me, O Lord. I bless your holy name. I give you praise, O Lord. Turn to someone to talk about what do you want us to talk about? Huh? Loyalty. Are you sure? Is that what is in your heart? Or because they say we should talk about it, that's what you want us to talk about it. You know the story of the woman who had a quarrel with her husband? Who has heard that story before? Three people. For the rest of you, I'm saying it. This woman had a quarrel with her husband. And the quarrel was resolved. And there was a family meeting. And the idea was that the woman should go to the husband and apologize. The theme is leaders in loyalty for those who are not familiar with this particular time of the year. We are teaching leaders in loyalty. So I'm going to mention a certain page and we'll preach from that page. But to continue my story, the family has sat down and this woman was supposed to, as it were, apologize to the man's family and then also to the man. So, like a dutiful wife, somebody say dutiful wife. May you be a dutiful wife in Jesus' name. My wife is a dutiful wife. Amen. Put your hands together for her. One day somebody also put your hands together for you. She got up and then she started going to the family members, her husband's family. When she goes to the first person, then she say, I'm sorry. The next person, I'm sorry. How do you say I'm sorry in Ga? Mpo fai. Mpo fai. Fami boni chemi. Mpo fai. Mpo fai. Mpo fai means I want your heart. That's how I want your heart. If not so, so the, how do you say it? I'm sorry. Mpa bo fai. Then you go to the husband. Now when it got to the husband, everybody was expecting her to say, I'm sorry, Impabofai, isn't also. Then when it got to the husband, then she turned and looked at the whole group and said, ah, what did they say I should say? Meaning I can't care. What did they say I should say? Please, this morning, don't come to church with what did they say I should come and listen to. But believe that God is here to speak to you. Somebody say amen. The Bible says wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I want you to feel free to relax. Nobody is here against you. God, if God be for us, who can be against you? Amen. And open your heart so that you can receive the Word of God that is more powerful than fried rice. That's more powerful than anything. I believe this Word is going to influence you and give you a better tomorrow. Somebody say amen. Or somebody say amen. Amen. So today, for those of you who are writing, we're going to talk about the loyalty of Christ. Chapter 14, page 169 of Leaders and Loyalty. Chapter 14, page 169, if you are holding the red cover edition. If you are holding the blue cover, just look for chapter 14. And when we talk about the loyalty of Christ, we are talking about success. Somebody say success. Because Christ was a successful person. But before I do that, let me share with you let me just summarize what we did last week. Last week we also spoke about the three principles of loyalty for those who are not here. Let me just quickly go through. We talked about three principles of loyalty. A principle is a law. Amen. That if you do this, this is what will happen. We spoke about loyalty exposes wrongdoers to the leadership. I am emphasizing it because in any society, if there is no reportage of things wrong that are going on, we stand to lose and we stand to destroy that society. So last week we spoke about the family of Chloe in the 11th verse of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. We find Paul talking about a report that he had from the house of Chloe. He said that it has been reported to me from the household of Chloe, by them that are in the house of Chloe, that there are quarrels. He used the word contentions. King James says, there are quarrels among you. In a church, God can speak to the pastor through a dream. He will speak to the pastor through the Bible. But he would also speak to the pastor through a church member. Amen. And it may be you. I said it may be what? It may be you. So if you say you are loyal, you need to expose or you need to report wrongdoing to the right people. And I cannot emphasize it enough. It's very important. A loyal person actually keeps his eye on everything. When he's walking around, he's not just like a normal person or average person. He's looking to see what is wrong. I am a pastor for some time and I know that people have two faces. Everybody say two face. There's a face that they use to speak to the pastor. That's the smiling one. That is the Miss Ghana one. The one that is like bright. When the pastor asks, how are you? Oh, nyaminadum. Everything is okay. Then as he goes to sit in the throat row or in the taxi or in the car, don't mind that pastor. Meanwhile, to the pastor, what did he say? Oh, fine, boko. I know. So I'm not too enthused just about smiling and all that. Because sometimes you even know there's something wrong. And instead of talking to the right person about it, you go around even gossiping about people. It's a dangerous thing to have in a society where the right information is not brought to the right sources. In fact, the example of the one we follow, Jesus Christ. Somebody say Jesus Christ. Oh, one more time, say Jesus Christ. I love talking about Jesus Christ. My desire is that this morning you will become like Jesus. Someone say amen. The one that we are following, Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. When you read about him in John chapter 10, the Bible even calls him a good shepherd. And it said he's the one that even protects, he protects the sheep. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, everyone that comes or that came after me, they were thieves. If you are a loyal person, you are a good shepherd. You protect. Ask somebody, do you protect? Pastor, if you are saying you must protect, then it means when I say something bad, I must not talk about it. It's like going to a doctor and the doctor seeing that you have a certain sickness, they say he also protects you, so he won't mention it to you. The real protection is when you deal with it. Tell somebody, deal with it. Oh, tell another person, deal with it. Sometimes they say, oh, I'll just leave it. Because in dealing with it, you may not have the capacity to deal with it. So what do? You tell the authorities or you tell the right person. Am I coming home to you? Am I making sense to you? So the next time you hear something or you see something, don't keep it to yourself. Pastor, but if you do that, then we all become spies. So be it. If we are all spies and we are spying for God, why not? Tell the nearest spy. Spy, how are you? Second thing I said was that loyalty, I know my message is not nice to you, but the Holy Spirit will teach you. Amen. The sermon that I'm preaching, it will help you, some of you, to help you now. Some of you, on a few weeks from now, you will see something and then you'll remember this sermon. Some of you, because of what I'm sharing, you'll be protected. Do you understand? Because instead of you being allowed to rot or to continue to spoil, a loyal person will see something and will come and announce it. Is somebody here with me? Oh, I said, is somebody here with me? Now, the second thing I said is that loyalty is not compatible with what? Memory. Memory is a spirit. It's an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit to the extent, and God doesn't like it to the extent that God classifies memory when he spoke about fornicators. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul said that neither remember ye, as some of them remembered and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 10 it says. Listen very carefully. Memory is when you speak under undertones. When you speak under your breath. When you have a complaint or you are always dissatisfied with something, and then instead of raising it up, instead of asking the relevant questions, you do what? You talk about it undertone. In fact, a memorizing person is not a nice person. A person who memorizes is not a very nice person at all. That is why the antidote, everybody say the antidote, that is the medicine for memorizing, is that you must learn to ask the right questions. Tell somebody, learn to ask the right questions. I am afraid of people who don't ask questions. In fact, if you are a leader, you have three people working for you, or you operate in a group, or you are in a household, and you have somebody who doesn't ask questions, please don't say, oh, that guy is very brilliant, or that lady is very smart, that's why everything she understands. The questions that are inside her, you don't have an idea. So a loyal person will ask questions. Ask somebody, do you ask questions? Today that you are preaching with me, I said, ask somebody, do you ask questions? Learn to find out what you need to find out about a situation so that you can satisfy yourself on the issue without having to murmur and complain undertone. Are you with me? So I'm expecting that from today, I'll hear people asking questions. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Who has a question to ask? But not in the middle of the service, please. Otherwise, you'll be like my friend who was preaching. And then, as he was preaching, somebody raised his hand from the back. So for who preaching there, now my verse is in come. Your preaching is nice, but put some more verses inside. The first thing we said, and for our loyalty is not compatible with memory, we said Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, says, do all things without memory. Are you with me? And then we also said that loyalty requires a study of history. If you're going to be loyal, a loyal means faithful. If you're going to be faithful, if you're going to be constant, if you say that you have you love Lighthouse Chapel International, La Cathedral, and you're going to be there through all the changing scenes of life, you need to have a little background. Somebody say a little background. You need to study some history. You need to know. That's why Paul said that Timothy, that has fully known my doctrine. That has fully known what? My doctrine. My manner of life. Patience. Charity. Long-suffering. Somebody with me. Persecutions that came upon me in Iconia, Lystra, three different cities he mentioned. It's important that if you are in a church, you just don't appear naive, or it's like, I don't want to know. Oh, me there, me kwa sorry, me almost seven there, me person, me TB. You see, you are a shaky person. It's like going to marry a person.
I told you about my friend who met somebody on Friday and proposed to her on Monday. Have I told you?
I had a friend, a man. He met somebody on Friday, and by Monday he was proposing. And by Monday morning, when he proposed, by the same Monday morning, he was bouncing. Because how can you know somebody on Friday and propose on Monday? You need to know more. Are you getting what I'm saying? Ladies, anybody who meets you today and proposes you to tomorrow, watch him. Maybe one out of a million will be a good person. But generally speaking, a serious person will not do that. He would like to study you a little. Is it not so? He would like to do what? Study you a little. Observe you a little. Interact with you a little. Introduce you to his pastor or his father or somebody for more observation. Unfortunately, some of you study too long. Study. 3 years you are studying. 4 years. 5 years. Now, we don't know. You have studied that you can write a PhD thesis on it. But a serious person wants to marry you, he will like to know. In fact, to the extent that we recommend 6 months marriage counseling, all this is what we preached last week. I'm intentionally going over. We recommend what? 6 months marriage counseling. Because we believe that within that 6 months, you would have been able to identify and know certain things about the person you want to marry. One of the early part of a marriage counseling, for example, we will use a verse from Genesis. Genesis 2, the last two verses, 24 and 25. It says, how do you call it? Thus shall a man leave his mother and father and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And the verse 25 says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Somebody say they were both naked. Or say one more, they were both naked. You know what it means to be naked? I said, you know what it means to be naked? Ask the person, do you know what it means to be naked? The next person to you. If he said no, tell the person, I'll show you. And in the marriage counseling, we identify nakedness on four levels. Someone say four. We talk about financial nakedness. Well, if you have a liability, maybe you are paying for your big brother's school fees. Maybe something, you have to say it. We talk about maybe some debts that you have. Or maybe some investments, financial nakedness. We talk about spiritual nakedness. Maybe you used to visit Ayi, Susubribi, or Tigari. General. You know Tigari, the fetish. Some of you here used to visit. In fact, some of you, even now, cry, you visit fetish. As I'm preaching now. Now. May the Lord deliver you in the name of Jesus. This particular part of the sermon is for you. You don't have to visit a fetish from today. But it's important if you're going to marry somebody, you are naked to the person in terms of spiritual. Do you understand? Maybe you have spiritual aspirations. That one day you become a pastor. It shouldn't be that when you marry the person, then 2 years down the line, when you have been appointed as a pastor, then the woman says, hey, me, I thought I was going to marry an engineer. I didn't know that you also wanted to be one of those people. Don't you think that they don't respect men of God in this country? It's important. Loyalty demands a study of history. The person's historical background is one of the things we also talk about. Do you understand? We talk about financial nakedness. But a historical background is very important because there are certain things that a person has done in the past that may have a bearing on your marriage. So you just don't jump into the marriage. You do what? You study the history. Is it very clear? So that you are not married one day, you hear, ko, hina, ayemi, oh hina, mi pacho, ayi, aye, ofake, ba. Of a cave here and if here, oh, madam, that's your papa now of you, no, of a cave. Now, you see, I am your father, so now I'm saying, I catch him saying, me papa. Oish! What a shock. By the time you realize you have married somebody that you didn't study, you don't know the history, and then when certain things come, your loyalty becomes shaken. Is somebody here with me? So it's important that these principles of loyalty, you can have it in your life. Exposing wrongdoers, not remembering, and then also studying history. Today, for just a few minutes, we talk about the loyalty of Christ. Now, when we say the loyalty of Christ, we are talking about how Christ himself was faithful. I say how Christ himself, he was what? Faithful, or he was loyal. Very few of us realize that Christ did not come on his own, but he was sent. I say Christ did not come on his own, but he was what? He was sent. That's what the Bible says, very famous scripture. If you know it, say it along with me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent a committee. For God so loved the world. Let's go. 1, 2. For God so loved the world that he sent a political party. Okay, let's try it again for the last time. For God so loved the world that he sent. Who was sent? Jesus was sent. He was sent so that we can be saved. So Jesus, as he was on earth, he was aware that he was on the earth as one that had been sent. And if you are a sent person, it means you are dependent on the one who sent you. Are you listening to me? Are you sure you understand what I'm saying? Now, how many of you will agree that Christ was a successful person? If you don't think Christ was a successful person, then I think you need to stop being a Christian and then probably go and join somebody who was successful in your eyes. I think Christ was a very successful person. To the extent that 2,000 years after he's come and gone, are you listening to me? His name is all over the place. His name is in the church. Before Christ died, the cross was a picture of despisement. But after he died, the cross has become something that we idolize, even though it's wrong. But the cross has become something that we hold in high esteem. I get what I'm saying. And that difference was made by Christ. We put a cross in the church, we put it on our windows, we put it as ear rings, we put it as a, how do you call it, chains on our body. All because a man called Christ came into the world and made an impact. We have churches named after Christ. We have lots of people named after Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. How many of you are called Emmanuel? Let me see. Give me a wave. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. All the Emmanuel, stand up. All the Emmanuel, stand up. You see, 2,000 years after Christ has gone, at least we have people being named after. Put your hands together for the Emmanuels here. May the Lord visit you specially, all the Emmanuels in Jesus' name. We have Christiana, Christabel, Christalyn, Christabella, Christopher, Christian. What? All the Christos in the world. All named after a successful person. I'm building another point. Can I build my point? It's because Christ was a successful person. In fact, the book of Philippians puts it in a nice way. It says, wherefore God has also exalted him and given him a name that is above all names. So if you see this person called Christ, and you also want to be successful, what do you do? I say, what do? You follow him. Tell somebody, I'll follow Christ. And interestingly, there are people who are not born again. They are Buddhists. They are Muslims. They are atheists. Who are not born again, but they are following the principles of Christ. And because of that, they have become successful people. And we that we say we are born again, we are following the person of Christ. And we have left his principles. And unfortunately, we don't seem to be succeeding. But that's why I came to preach to somebody this morning. I said that's why I came to preach to somebody this morning. If you say you're a Christian, you have not just the person of Christ, I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Lord, come into my heart. From today, enter me. Sweep away every dirt. Wash me clean with your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Help me in Jesus' name. But you see, after that, then we live as principles. And because of that, we don't seem to go forward. The Japanese, they don't have Christ as a person. But they are moving forward. America. Everybody say America. The United States of America is the number two. If I'm right, it's the number two most secular world in the country, in the world. You may be surprised. Statistics wise, secular. Say, omwa, omonfa, Christosum, eni, nyoma, nyoma, enfanye, bibi. Secular. Despite all the churches, despite TD Jakes and everything. But you know what is happening? They might not have the person of Christ, but they are using his principles. They are following his characteristics. There's a difference between following the characteristics of Christ and actually following him as a person. Am I preaching to somebody? This afternoon's sermon is to help you to follow a successful person, look at his characteristics, the things he did, the way he did things, how he became successful, so that you can also become successful. Can I hear amen? I say, can I hear amen? There are 11 of them. I think I'll just share a couple with you and then we'll pray. Is it a good idea? 11 characteristics of Christ. We'll share just about two or three with you and then we'll close for today. Page 170. It's nice to preach from a book. Yeah. You can even know what the pastor is about to say before he says it. Isn't it so? That's if you have the book. If you don't have it, just get one. Okay? Number one. And these characteristics are going to help you to go forward in life. A person who openly acknowledges his father. A person who does what? Openly acknowledges his father. John chapter 5 verse 18. And what we're talking about here is similar to the last point I shared on last week's sermon. A person who has a history. Or a person who recognizes where he's coming from. Ask somebody, do you know where you are coming from? Some people want to appear like they just dropped on the earth. Some people want to appear self-made. That they don't need anybody. That they themselves, they made it by themselves. But Christ was not like that. Christ, Jesus Christ, was somebody who was always acknowledging his father. He talked about his father. He spoke about his father. He talked about what his father has sent him to do. Is somebody here with me? There are people who don't want anything. As soon as you mention their father, and say, hey, man, boss up, Papa Nidin. But Pastor, you don't know what that man has done. It's true. Maybe that man didn't look after you. But at least he gave you a sperm. Tell somebody he gave you a sperm. This is an adult service. If you came to the second service, you would have said that your pastor is mild. Because in the second service, I had a visiting pastor. Hey! And he was describing something. Sheesh. Listen very carefully. For those of us who sometimes want to play down on the role of our father in our life, I came to tell you that Jesus Christ was not like that. I agree with you that you didn't see your father till you were 18 years old. No problem. Like I told you about a friend of mine went to the funeral recently of the father. And as I was chatting with him, this friend of mine should be about 38 or 35. And we were all looking at the brochure of the funeral. Then I said, hey, your father, he died at a good age, 77. Then he said, mommy, where? Hey, I thought you were 67. Oh, I mean, I didn't
didn't know my father was 77. Hey, he grew.
I said, ah, but is he not your father? He said, oh, me, I saw my father when I was an adult. That's what he was telling me. Such a person can easily have bitter feelings towards his father. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I want to help you this morning. A loyal person will speak openly of his father. And if you have been in this church for some time, realize that we don't just talk of a biological father. We also talk about other kinds of fathers. We actually talk about 9 different kinds of fathers. Everybody say 9. Your biological father is just one of the fathers you have in your life. In fact, if you're going to have a proper life, you need what we call the fatherhood relay. The fatherhood relay. The fatherhood relay. Everybody say fatherhood relay. That is one person who passes on the baton of responsibility to another person and to another person in your life. You may have your biological father, but at a point in time, you may also have a spiritual father. In fact, yesterday, I was at a car wash and I had a call from my mother. My mother will be 82 next week or in 2 weeks. 82. But she still goes to church. Just told her about a few years ago, I told her to stop fasting or to reduce her fasting. And when she called, she said certain things that didn't make me happy. She said, are you sitting? Are you driving? Are you, where are you? Where's your wife? I say, hey, you know, when people call you and they start saying those things, are you sitting down? Are you driving? In fact, when I also called my wife to give her a certain message, I also said the same thing. Are you frying fish? Are you by the oil? Stand away from the oil. So I said, ma, Kasamunona, you are worrying me. I mean, they say, oh, yes, don't be worried. Then she said something. She said that my father is dead. Hey, the way you are quiet, I have to explain. No. My biological father died in 1986. So I've had enough time to recover. But I'm talking about the one who led me to Christ. It's a man called Reverend Newman. The husband of Amy Newman. God bless you. So he said, Reverend Newman is dead. I said, what? What do you mean? I didn't say, what do you mean to my mother? But he was a father. He's the one who led me to Christ. I mean, this morning I discovered it was his brother anyway. It wasn't the Reverend Newman, but another brother of his. But it struck me that one of the fathers that God had given me, he is what? He's passed on. So a loyal person openly, like I just openly mentioned my spiritual father. And you have different kinds of fathers. Father in the ministry, all of us, our father is Bishop Dak, isn't also? Yeah. We have different kinds of fathers. If you're going to be successful in this life, listen very carefully. You need to take pride in the fact that you have a superior. No matter who you are, you cannot just say that, oh, media, I came by myself. You'll be a freak of nature if you say you came by yourself, because nobody just came by himself. I said nobody did what? Came by himself. There are certain people who don't like talking about, if our pastors, they don't like talking about the men of God in their life. It's a very dangerous thing. If you don't openly and freely acknowledge somebody as your father, or where you learned something from, you are likely to be an ungrateful person. You are likely to be an unthankful person. And most likely you have a hidden agenda somewhere. Pastor, the way you are preaching, I think I do not understand. Let me tell you a story. Most of my stories are true. Once upon a time, I was talking with a certain lady. The lady had a son. And then she said she would tell me about how that son was born. She said she was there, no, she said she wanted to have a child. And she was not married. And as she wanted to have a child, she was thinking,
If you are not married, you want to have a child, what do? You marry. But she had other plans. So she went to the bank. Somebody say the bank. When she went to the bank, then she said, I am looking for the father of my children. And as she was looking, not the bank, not like commercial bank or Barclays or something. She went to a sperm bank. I was talking to the woman like that. She went to what? A sperm bank, a place where they keep sperms, so that she could select the sperm she wanted to put inside her body. Ish. What a shock. So they were giving her this sperm. It comes from this kind of person. This, like that, like that. As they were giving it to her. Then even one of the doctors that she was talking to, my wife is laughing because she knows the story, said, if you are looking for this kind of sperm, mikra. Tell somebody, mikra. I can give you some. Hey! Not to know the continuation of the story. I'm talking about a person who openly acknowledges his father. Look, she could have gotten the sperm and she would not even have known where it comes from. Because most of this thing doesn't happen a lot in Ghana, but it happens abroad. Where you can just go, get it, they put it inside you, and you don't know. But I think it is a sign of something very dangerous. Are you getting what I'm saying? Meaning that such a person does not even want to acknowledge the fact that they came from somewhere. It is that spirit that informs lesbians. It's that spirit that informs the spirit of homosexuality. That causes them that the natural method of procreation that God has given us, they want to step aside. They want to step aside and want to follow their own thing. And that's what societies in Ghana, in the world have started following. But I came to recommend to somebody, if you want to be successful, learn to acknowledge your father, your superiors, where you are coming from, the church that has brought you up to this point in your life. Let us hear you say something nice and positive about this church. Now you see that I've come to your house. You see that, right? I'm inside your mobile phone. Have you seen? When I was talking, it's like, Pastor, I'm now. Let us hear you say something proper. Were you not for Lighthouse Chapel International, Rose of Sharon, Anka Matiti? Yeah. A person who openly acknowledges his father, his roots, where he's coming from, how he became who he is now. Not that he just appeared from somewhere and is there. Those of you in the church here, you must learn to openly acknowledge your father, the bishop, Dr. Ewart Mills. I think it's a good place to put your hands together for the Lord. Am I helping somebody? I said, am I helping somebody? It is Lucifer. Look at page 171. It is Lucifer who forgot that he was created and appointed. If you have to be reminded about your origins, you have a problem. If you're a wife, don't let your husband say, Now, Mishia Ono, send out what it is. I heard two married couples talking. This is not on the internet, this is not on the radio, it was right in front of my face. The man told the woman, Nasewo, send out Kobi Ampel. Wegamambewaliwa. If I didn't come to marry you, who would have married you? And then you know what the wife said? Now, I have pity on you. No, this is not a story. And I have to tell them, shut up. You don't have to say these things. A married couple, they were just saying, if I didn't marry you, nobody would have married you. Then the woman said, I had pity on you. Hey, and some of you are married and you are still saying it. You are married and you are still saying it. Somebody say, careful. Number two. Can I go to number two? I'll say just a couple and then we'll close. A person who follows his superior's example at work. Everybody say, example. You know, there's a way something is done, and there's a way something is not done. There's a way something is what? Is done, and there's a way something is not done. Finish. For example, if you learn driving from a person who drives slowly, it's most likely you'll drive what? Slowly. Why? You know somebody like that. You see the one teaching? He drive. If you learn driving from someone who drives fast, it's most likely you do what? You drive fast. Me, for example, any car that I sit inside, from Watonchini to the latest Jaguar, hey, I put on my seatbelt. I begin to look for the seatbelt. Even when I sit in the throttle, I'm looking for a seatbelt. Because the one who taught me how to drive, his example was that, put on your seatbelt. I get what I'm saying. Somebody say, example. A loyal person, if you're going to be successful, one characteristic that you need to have is that you follow your superior's example at work. Finish. So that people tell me that I preach like Prophet Kakra. But I realize that it's because I follow his example. The anointing gap between me and him, it is like Africa and then heaven. But I'm following his example. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you want to be successful, you need to have some people that you follow the example. You need to have some mentors in your life. Someone say mentor. Mentor. The theme for our convention 2 weeks time is take the prophet. It comes from James chapter 5 verse 10. And James was saying, take the prophets as an example. Another version says, take them as mentors. A mentor is somebody whose advice you take. In fact, a mentor is not somebody who just advises you, but somebody whose advice you do what? You take. Because the person may be advising you, but you don't take the advice. Meaning you may not even have to meet the person. You may just have to read about him, read about something in his life, and you just take it. Are you getting what I'm saying? A mentor is somebody whose advice you take. The person doesn't even need to know you. You don't have to go and tell the person that, sir, I have heard of you. In fact, from today, I want you to be my mentor. It's been too artificial. I said, it's even too artificial. Am I helping somebody? A loyal subordinate will continue working as long as the superior is working. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 5 verse 17. John chapter 5 verse 17. I am enjoying this sermon. But unfortunately, within the next 5 minutes, I have to close. And I will continue next week. We are looking at 11 Christ-like characteristics. And these characteristics will help you to become a successful person. Because if Jesus was successful, then we need to look at the things that he did. Is it not so? I said, if Jesus was successful, then we need to do what? Look at the things that he did. And the first thing we are saying is that he openly acknowledged his father. That is where he was coming from. He was not shy about it. One of the saddest days of my life was in 1980. I was in the secondary school in the lower forms, and then we had a boy in our class. We used to call him, I don't think I should mention his nickname even, maybe his nickname, we used to call him Upper Six Science, because he wanted to, in fact, he wanted to be a doctor. And we heard he had a visitor, and I think it was a Sunday or Saturday when visitors come. And as we went to see the visitor, then he stopped. Because he had been told that his mother was looking for him. And he refused, said, no. No, not my mother. And when we got to the place where the visitor was, then he said, oh, it's the house help. But it was the mother. He could not acknowledge his mother. it made a strong impression on me. A person who openly acknowledges. It doesn't matter where you are coming from. If you are bold enough to say that, hey, I was born in the village, but look at me. Now, I am who I am by the grace of God. People will even begin to respect you more, isn't it so? I said people begin to even believe you more. Because they realize that, Charlie, no matter where you are coming from, you have not allowed the limitations of where you are coming from to hold you down. And how much more when we are coming from God? How much more when we are born of the seed of God? And we can't talk about the fact that we are Christians. Nobody in your office knows that you are a born again person. They think you are just a guy about town. Nobody in your class knows that you are a born again person. They think you are just a good guy. In fact, they think that you are one of the bad guys around. Something very wrong with you. I know I'm preaching, my sister. I'm preaching to you. Some of you are taking decisions. You are looking at yourself and you are wondering, what is it I got to change? May the Holy Spirit open your mind. May the Holy, some of you want to appear like Guy Yoyo. Guy Santo. Hi, man. What's up? So you don't want to say you are born again. Even in church, you don't want to come close. The pastor will give me a work. Or if I come too close, they will see me. So next time I cannot feel free to drink my beer. Number two, we are saying, John chapter 5, verse 17, a person who follows his superior's example. Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. A good leader is often the last one to leave. And a good assistant will stay with his captain until the end. Watch out for those who don't have time for extra work or energy for extra work. There are people like that. They see their bosses work. The first time I had to work. No, not the first time. One of the times I had to work. I worked in the office in Osuye. First day, architectural intern. Busy. Reverend Lati had come in the morning. Busy, working. Then one guy came to stand by me and said, Mr. Sawyer. I said, eh? He said, tomorrow will you come to work? I said, yes. Then he said, but why are you doing all the work today? I realized this guy was giving me a very bad example. If you're going to be successful, look at the successful people ahead of you. Listen, if you forget everything, don't forget this point. If you want to be successful, look at the successful people who are ahead of you. Look at how they have operated their lives. Go to them if you can go to them. Ask them questions. How did you do this? If you want a successful marriage, look for a successfully married person and ask her or ask him, how did you do this? How did you do that? If he or she is very honest, she'll tell you the truth. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to be a good Christian, look for good Christians. Come to Reverend Latte. Ask him, Reverend Latte, I want to be like you. How did you get to the point where you are? Where you are? And then he will also tell you, A, B, C, D. Is somebody here listening to me? A good example. He follows the example of the Father. Finally, number three, and I will close here for today. A person who does only what he sees his leader doing. Once upon a time, Jesus went to the hospital. In the hospital, he went to the bone department. There were a lot of people there. Broken bones. He didn't mind them. He went to the eye department. People heard that he was coming. So they started shouting, doctor, doctor, doctor. He didn't mind them. Then he went to one department where the people were paralyzed. And when he went there, plenty of people were there. But you know what he chose to do? He just ministered to one person. So somebody was saying that, but Jesus, you said you came into the world to heal. How come that when you went to that hospital, you healed only one person? And this was his response. John chapter 5 verse 19. Are you there? Are you in John chapter 5 verse 19? The Bible says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do." When you are assisting your Father, there are many things you can do. You can do what is right, or you can do what you see your Father doing. I said you can do what is right, or you can see, or you can do what you see your Father doing. Lighthouse Chapel, for example, we have many things that we do in every local church. But the things we are doing, have you seen the color of our offering basket? Who has seen the color? It is what? Yellow and black. Why am I using this? Because that's what I see my Father using. Are you getting what I'm saying? A lot of things and everything that we see us doing is because that is what we see our Father doing. We don't have ushers who are women. Though it looks like a good idea, is it not so? Or is it not so? Men. Men, are there some honest men in this church? Let me hear the honest men say amen.
Amen.
Oh, I didn't hear the honest men. Honest men, amen.
Amen.
When you see a beautiful lady walking by, don't you look? Oh, only one person responded. Even the married people are being honest. When you see a beautiful lady walking by, do you not look? People, I think you are. How many of you have looked at a beautiful lady before and you have fallen into a gutter? But you look, is it not so? Because the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, meaning that the men were made fearfully and then the women were made wonderfully anyway. And when you go to a lot of organizations, you see that the women are there moving around. In fact, a lot of churches, you see the women. But Lighthouse Chapel, we don't have women as ushers. No matter how beautiful they are, as they are walking, you are looking at their bum-bums, and then you look in church, don't you look in church? You look, don't you look?
Yeah.
As the nearest man, you look. Ah, Pastor, today, Modi, the men, they won't tell you where they look. Especially those who wear dark glasses. Aha. The next time you see a man wearing dark glasses in church, mark him. In fact, a guy, Japheth went to buy dark glasses so that he could be looking at women in town. And one day he had gone to buy papers and things. And then he was walking, he saw a certain lady. And he was looking, but you see, his head was straight. But his eyes, inside the dark glasses, was looking. The next time we all saw, he had crashed into an electricity pool. Bang, 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 bang. And then everybody saw that, not knowing he was looking somewhere. We don't do that. We don't have women walking up and down. Because we do only what we see our Father do. Is it a good idea? From today, I want to advise you, if you want to be successful, I said if you want to be successful, just do, follow the example of your Father. And then number two, just do what you see your Father do. Sometimes it might be a small instruction that has been given, but you'll be surprised to find that that instruction, it will save you. That instruction, it will do what? It will save you. Hallelujah. You will grow faster when you copy your leader exactly. In fact, life is too short not to learn from our fathers. I want to advise somebody here, maybe starting a business, or maybe you are going into a kind of program. Please, careful. Maybe you're even entering a relationship. We stand in the pulpit and we talk about how relationships are supposed to be organized. If you have been in the church for a long time, you would even have heard how the pastors describe how a relationship should be. Today, even the pastor who was preaching for the second was describing how a proper relationship should go.
Do you understand?
And sometimes we use even we ourselves as examples.
If you want to be successful, what do?
Just follow
the example that has been given. And to help you to save your life, look at page 175. This particular side is to help you to save your life. Somebody say, "Help me, Jesus." In page 175, Bishop says, "Don't be a hero." And I want to read, and then we'll close. As I read, may the Holy Spirit touch your heart and your mind. I have noticed something. My quote begins, quote close, "Children in the Lord, who follow me closely and do what they see me do, make greater strides in ministry. Those who experiment and play around with unproven methods often take much longer to advance in ministry." I want to say it again. Don't be a hero. Tell somebody, don't be a hero. What do we mean by don't be a hero? It means don't try and impress anybody. You are in a situation, there is a madman around fighting everybody. Don't try and go and say you are going to save the situation. You might be surprised to find that you go to heaven fast. Your life is too short for you to play around with it. In fact, your life is too short to use part of it to discover things that have already been discovered. It's time for you to move quickly. Amen. I said it's time for you to do what? To move quickly. Learn the secrets of Christ and search forward in this life. I want you to do something for a moment. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to meditate on yourself. But as you meditate on yourself, also meditate on God. This is a practical time. Maybe it is an idea. Maybe it is something that you are doing or you are planning to do. Just for a moment, just relax in the Lord and ask yourself, Spirit of God, what do you want me to do? Spirit of God, what do you want me to do? Some of you will receive revelations of somebody to ask, somebody to talk to. Some of you, something will come back to your mind. We worship you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. Some of you are saying that your life is not worth a living. Some of you are saying that it's over. There's nothing you can do. I want you to remember Abraham. Abraham was old and well stricken in age. Genesis 24. But the Bible said the Lord had blessed him in all things. You may be old, but the Lord can bless you. Meditate on God. Meditate. Think about the Holy Spirit.
I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you.
We hope you have enjoyed this message. For copies of this message and other messages by Reverend Samuel Sawyer, please contact the following numbers: 0243-210-323 0274140073, 0242-262-694. If you are calling from outside Ghana, please begin with 00233 and email us at samsoya@yahoo.com. We invite you to visit us every Sunday morning at the LCI Rose of Sharon Cathedral, former Olympia Cinema, at 6:30 a.m., 8:30 a.m., and 10:30 a.m. Our youth and children's service also come on at 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. On Thursday evenings, we meet from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.